And I ain't hear no drop in a minute. You know I'm about my business.
Rapper's Got Podcast, episode 67. This is your host, Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about, first off, Spotify now reaching the 100,000 songs a day milestone.
Crazy.
Fucking wild.
Crazy.
And why that's wild is because, first off, the output. Second, like I've been listening to a whole bunch of podcasts that are involving like Spotify in particular, but also just streaming platforms as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people who are releasing music, like I think it was whatever his name is, Eck, the Spotify like CEO.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway. He was talking about how he doesn't consider someone a real musician within Spotify unless they have more than 10 songs. And there's such a ridiculous amount of people. Like we're saying, okay, 100,000 songs are dropping a day,
mm-hmm.
right? But some of those people are only dropping that song for their life.
Yeah.
Like they'll never drop another song. And maybe it's because they dropped it and didn't get the reaction they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because they dropped it and thought they were going to blow up and then they didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of reasons why people are dropping one song and never dropping again. But that's all taking up market share.
Yeah, because even when we look at the stats that we did before in a previous episode, even then it was like most artists don't have over like 20 songs within their catalog. Most artists probably don't have 10.
Yeah, 10
songs within their catalog. So it's just like...
Most people don't have five.
It's crazy to even think that if there are 100,000 songs dropping, like where the fuck is this music coming from? Number one, like we're just trying to figure out right now. And then number two is like, because it's not including podcasts. It's just specifically talking about music. So it could be beats as well. It could be like the lo-fi shit and everything. But okay, still, that's a drastic amount.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to offend anyone. How many times has someone listened to our podcast and they sent you a record and you listen to it and it's completely unmixed? It's like it shouldn't have been made.
Guys, every time you do it, I go look. And yes, 9 times out of 10, it's horrible.
And why I'm saying that is because there is no threshold of how a song needs to sound to be put on Spotify. Like you can quite literally record something on your phone
mm-hmm.
and then post it to Spotify.
Yeah.
There's no like gatekeeping when it comes to the quality of music. There's no gatekeeping when it comes to anything, which is good in a way because it means that everyone can release, but it's bad because it's all taking market share from all the artists that are going and fucking getting their shit professionally mixed, that are going and paying for a music video and all this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, I think then you have to separate, like, what qualifies you as a real musician? In the Spotify guy's head, it's
10 songs,
right? Or it could be, like, over 50 monthly listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the amount of people that are under that is nuts.
Oh, fucking drastic, crazy-ass number.
Okay, and let's get into the point about independent music and how it was taking over and mm-hmm. All those stats came out. It's skewed because it's just taking market share away from the major labels, but none of those songs are getting tremendous amounts of listens.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with that. What it is that if 1 million unsigned artists drop a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those all get 10 plays, that's 10 million plays. Okay. 10 million plays that are taking away from the plays on other
bigger name artists.
Right. So you're taking the market share, but it's not necessarily like you're keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it kind of gets skewed. It's like, yes, you're taking ears away from like the major artists, but you're not keeping them there. The major artists are still making out with a lot of the money in the industry because of that.
And that's where it becomes more so like, okay, there's 100,000 songs dropping. And yes, there may be out of those 100,000 people, they may each individually get 10 listens. It takes away from the bigger name artists, but they are still able to generate revenue. Where it does affect us is that we're independent artists and those 10 streams are going to equal to not even a cent.
Right.
And that's where the issue comes in. It's like, yes, once again, we are taking some market share from them. Yes, independent artists are in the lead or kind of getting into that space where they're able to do things independently on their own. But at the end of the day, a lot of people aren't able to capitalize and really make anything or really like start a career just based off those sole amount of streams. So it seems like it's a positive thing, but at the same time, it's a negative thing. And then we get talking about oversaturation, and that's one of the hardest things ever. We talked about it before when we talked about all the shows coming back, and it's like how the market is oversaturated. And because of that, a lot of people aren't showing up to shows. They're canceling the shows. Same thing is kind of applying to music, because truthfully, there's been a lot of albums that's been coming out. I can't fucking keep up. And these are bigger name artists. And if I got to think about the independent artists under them, it's too much shit to fucking keep up with constantly, all the time.
Okay. If you had to fight 10 10-year-olds, you think you could win that?
No, I don't think
so. You could probably win that.
10 10-year-olds?
10 10-year-olds.
These kids is different nowadays. Yeah, possibly, yeah.
You would probably win that fight, right? With 10 10-year-olds. Now, what if 1,000 came at you?
No, I can't fuck with
that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So even though these artists are super powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more independent artists. And again, that goes back to that threshold thing where like there's no quality control of what music is being dropped. So like these guys are going to the top engineers and the top whatever, and they're dropping through major labels.
Mm-hmm.
But there's someone at home right now that just found a beat online, ripped it off YouTube and recorded on GarageBand, reverb all funky, and they just dropped the song, right? They could have gotten 50 people to listen to that song. Maybe not kept them there, but at least listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the time that they're listening to that song, they're not playing Drake.
That's a fact.
Okay. Now multiply that by however many people. What was it? I think it's like 7 million people on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many of those people are really like major artists? Can't be a lot.
Not a lot.
Spotify be having like a top 50 list of like their most listened to artists, right? Mm-hmm. Top 50. Maybe like 200 artists, 300 artists are like major, major.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So the rest is just kind of like the wild, wild west.
Just out there and open.
You know what I'm saying? So like you look at that and you go, okay, now how does that affect the music industry? Now we know that labels have stake in all these like Spotify, Apple Music,
mm-hmm.
fucking whatever, right? They're trying to get as many people to listen for as long as possible. That's the reason why when we look at our YouTube stats, it tells you the time frame that the people watch it for. Retention rate
and everything, yep.
Right. There's no retention if everyone's listening to some independent artist that's their friend.
Nope.
They're not staying on that album because every Friday new music's dropping. So I think that that also plays against, you know, how people are like, yo, they asking for new music, but like I dropped my project last week.
And nobody even tried to listen to it or hear
it's
it.
It's like, yeah, in the second or in the moment, they listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then like 100,000 tracks drop the next day. And now there's more shit for them to listen to.
Like even on the top of my head, like right now, the recent albums I could think of, I know the JID album came out, the Jeezy album came out with DJ Drama, the 21 Savage and the Drake was supposed to drop, but it got pushed back. Even Rihanna just dropped a fucking, like a song, even though it's part of like the Wakanda soundtrack, which that's going to garner so much attention. I think fucking Taylor Swift probably about to, I think she either dropped the album recently or it's about to come out too. Like you got to think about all those things. Those so many bigger name artists is going to gain all that attention and garner all that. And, you know, once again, it's horrible to see, but sometimes you really get lost at sea. And if you don't know how to particularly make yourself stand out, you know, without fully embarrassing yourself or just looking for a viral moment and like having something that's actually like a solid base to stand on, you're going to get lost in the sea. That's just how it is.
Well, even with TikTok, like you look at like a TikTok clip, right? And say we got a TikTok clip to hit 50,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the next clip, like on someone else's page and it has fucking 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one, it has like 500,000. Those could potentially be different people watching them.
Yep, exactly.
There's so many people on earth and so many ears listening or eyes watching different shit that like it's hard to actually like put a footprint in the game. It's difficult to make any type of like leverage because there's too many people doing the same thing.
And it could be certain commonalities, but everybody brings something specifically different to the table. And that's like, you know, if it is 50,000 compared to 100,000, maybe 25,000 of those people between the two probably seen the same video. But then there's still that other market that hasn't been touched yet beforehand. So yeah, that's a fact.
I feel like the internet, as easy as it makes it to blow up if you have money, it's hard if you're trying to run it for free. Like we talked to Corey, TikTok makes it very simple for you to promote your stuff. But even with that, he was saying it takes someone 18 months to go viral.
And 18 months of consistently posting either 2 to 3 times a day is fucking tiring.
And most people can't do that.
Will not do it.
You know what I'm saying? So like, when you look at it like that, you're seeing a bunch of people who are trying to make a footprint, but mm-hmm. a bunch of people who are failing to make a footprint. And I think that it's more people than ever. Well, obviously, because 100,000 tracks are dropping a day.
Yep, exactly.
Right? So when does... Like, they've been discussing if Spotify should implement some sort of, like...
Price raise?
Price increase? Not a price increase. More of, like, should there be a gatekeeper for the music that comes through?
I think that would be kind of crazy.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because once again, even though it doesn't always happen, there could be that kid in his bedroom that could potentially have a life-changing experience for his family. And at that point, if they don't think it's up to par, like let's just say, we always use this fucking example, but the Tentacion song, like let's just say people say, nah, this shit is too loud. It's in our fucking ears. We're not letting this shit slide. We may not know him as an artist as we know him today. Possibly, if there are, if there is a gatekeeper up there.
That's true.
That's how I would look at it.
Maybe there should be like a probationary period.
Now, that I can agree with, because if you drop in like a bunch of BS like every week or whatever the case may
like,
be,
check this out.
A large volume, yeah.
If your song, say you drop a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And within the first year, it doesn't get 50 plays.
Take that shit down.
Take it down.
Because truthfully, you know, and speaking of the Spotify price increase, I know Apple Music and I know YouTube Music increased their prices. They're like, oh, Spotify may follow along. And it was just like, I feel like those numbers are like, they kind of go hand in hand. They may not, but in my mind, it's just like, now we got to fucking host 100,000 songs per day on our site. Because there's still developers and people who are behind the scenes having to take all this cloud data. I don't know how none of that shit works. It's all fucking magic to me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still people behind it that have to work and they have to pay for those things to be able to maintain this fucking platform and all these fucking songs. We're going to have to charge more on our platform, yes. And then, you know, there was the other side of it where artists are saying like, well, if 100 people just come to the Spotify and listen to me, why don't I get that money? I think with 100,000 songs, that becomes even more of a harder metric to be able to like even like kind of dish out because of that.
Well, it's kind of funny because I feel like people are just aching to get back into the format where we sell physical copies.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yo, if everyone's just coming to my page and listening to my music, why don't I get money for it? Remember when we did that? It was CDs.
And we all know that's cap too, because nobody just listens to Spotify and just listens to one set
artist. If you're listening to one set artist, then you shouldn't have Spotify.
Yeah, don't pay the $10. Pay $10 to the artist directly. Like, go to iTunes and buy the fucking album or something.
Right.
Or buy the singles, if that's the case.
But
we don't do that.
But that's
not
not
what streaming is for.
That's not the case.
And that's what changed the revolution.
And well, that's also why, like, no matter what, we'll never go back to physical copies.
Hmm.
We're just way too far past that now. Like, we're already talking Web3 and how you could virtually fucking listen to music and I could meet you in a virtual realm and hand you music and this and that. Like, that makes it very difficult to ever go back to a physical thing. But even when you're looking at the virtual realm, that kind of is physical.
Yeah, because it's still a hand-to-hand interaction per se.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's the same thing. It's just like now you're on the virtual.
That's all it is. It just mimics what you could potentially do in real life.
But it's funny because the industry moved away from that
and
only for everyone to want that back.
Kind of come back to it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone still aches for that. And like, I've seen like, shout out to Worms Ali.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Worms Ali put a post under and he said something like, he put a comment under one of our videos and he was like, I think he said
like
there's 200 million people with cars.
Mm-hmm. CD players and stuff.
Okay, I wanted to break that down though, right? Like, yeah, cars with CD players. How many of those people listen to hip hop? How many of those people listen to country?
'Tis a fact.
How many of those people listen to fucking Latin? Like, there's so many people that have cars, but like, not all of those people listen to rap. Not all of those people care about music.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people are listening to audiobooks on CDs.
And you know,
like, if you actually had to break down the market share of how many people actually listen to rap, like, I don't even know what that would be.
And I was going to dive deeper in that because it's like, all right, just like you're explaining, like, not everybody's listening to rap music per se. And like, yes, this is rapper's guy, but usually we're talking about rappers because that's what we love and that's, you know, where we come from. But mostly talking about all independent artists out there. It's like, yeah, it's 100,000 songs. But once again, like I said earlier, we don't know what the fuck these 100,000 songs are about. Like, what are they mixed with? Are they a mixed of R&B, hip hop? Are they mixed with fucking techno? Is it just country? Is it just pop? There's so many fucking variables at this stage because of said streaming. It'd be so hard to say that, you know, even if there are that many CDs that people are actually looking for rap. Because technically, technically it is the most popular genre, but at the same time, it's being mixed in with other genres,
which
makes
it
more popular.
Also, like, if newer cars, like, we could all agree that not everyone has a brand new car, right?
Yes.
So, okay, 200 million cars on the road that have CD players, but like, how many of those are like old ladies? How many of those are old men that still have old cars when they got it brand new 20 years ago?
And most cars, they do come with CD players, but at the same time, they do still kind
of... A lot of new cars aren't, though.
The Apple Play and the Google Play, whatever the fuck that shit, the other car, shit's called. what's it called? Apple Play?
Apple AirPlay or some shit like that.
Yeah, I don't got a new car. I don't know that shit.
But check this out. Like, all right, if you're getting a new car, that's pointing you towards streaming,
mm-hmm.
right? Because like it's all intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's not pointing you toward CDs.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Right? Like they're all trying to push you toward the next era, which is streaming. Everything has Bluetooth now. I have a 2013 car. The shit came with a CD player, Bluetooth, aux cord, literally any form of listening.
I got an 07, so my shit only came with an aux.
All right, cool.
And a CD player, but I don't use it.
Right. So if all the new cars are removing the CD player, that's saying that there's not a need for this.
And the same thing, like if you look at it also within computers as well, most computers don't come with a CD hard drive anymore. You got to buy an extra USB dongle at the end of the day. So yeah, it's coming to a point where it's like the format per se of a CD is kind of, you know, disappearing, even though vinyls are still out there. But like, once again,
yeah, but if it's novelty, that doesn't count exactly, as everyone's
as I'm gonna
say. Using
exactly, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference. Like, we could talk about novelty items. You might buy someone a CD because it's a physical thing that you could stare at.
Mm-hmm.
But like, are you really buying it for listening?
And I think most people would even say that they wouldn't want to go back to like buying physical CDs. They're still like, my aunt still does it, but she's like 50. And Warren Zali, continue to do what you're doing. Keep pushing those units and doing everything you're doing. But in totality, like, I just know like my aunt, my mom, like she's like, yo, give me the Joe CD. I'm like, yo, you know, I could just get you Spotify. She's like, what is that? I'm like, yo, you can just stream all these fucking songs on your thing. She's like, nah, I just rather stick to the CD. And like some people are stuck in ways, but the landscape of music has been moving towards internet cloud-based shit.
Right. And the reason why your mom doesn't want to switch off of CDs into streaming is because she doesn't want to learn a new platform.
Yeah, which is perfectly fine. But like, she's gonna be fucking confused.
People
me.
Are being born every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Hip hop is typically a young man's sport, right?
Yep, that's a fact.
There are definitely older people listening to hip hop now than ever because hip hop is aged, right? But majority of people that are buying new hip hop music are probably young.
Mm-hmm.
Those young people are going to reach a point where they don't have a place to play a CD.
Everything's going to just be stream, stream, stream.
Okay, so now you're banking on older people to buy a CD because they're still used to that format, right? Mm-hmm. But older people are not the ones that are buying rap CDs.
No, it's probably not the ones usually going to the concerts.
So if you're looking at it like that, what is your market? Because if your market is 18 to 24,
you're better off with the streaming.
You're better off with streaming.
Anything older like 35 and plus.
Right. Maybe you could get off some CDs, mm-hmm. but that's where you have to look at your demographic. That's where you really have to know who you're selling to. And maybe if you're selling to 45-year-olds, they'll still be down with CDs. But for the most part, everyone, because yeah, you got to think. If I was paying for every album that I get to consume on Spotify, I'd be broke.
Yeah, like we said before, like, well, I'm not fucking paying for that shit. I love the fact that it's streamed. Like I can listen to anything at any time I want on demand, whenever I feel like I can download the shit and do whatever for it. Yes, indeed. Sometimes as an independent artist who's building a career, I say fuck streaming because honestly, when I'm looking at it from my perspective, like I'm not getting paid enough. But that's just me as an artist. As in a consumer, I'm like,
okay,
I can't do nothing. Like, bro, don't take that shit away from me.
You worded it perfectly. Consumers love streaming. Yeah. While artists hate streaming.
Yeah.
But artists as consumers love streaming.
Yep, exactly.
Like it's kind of hypocritical to be like, yo, fuck streaming. It's fucking ruining the industry. But then you also
streaming
have Spotify, YouTube, and all this shit where you're able to listen to free music all the time. Because you yourself are not going out and spending $100 on your 10 favorite albums of the year.
I'm not.
You're going to spend the $10.99. You get fucking everything included. You get video podcasts on Spotify. You get everything you want.
And that's why I say sometimes when we do complain about things or we do feel some form of way being an independent artist, you also got to look at it as like, yo, you at the end of the day, you're 100%. Still a consumer. And 100%. When you look at it from a consumer standpoint, you look at it a little bit differently. Yes, like we said earlier, somebody could pay you $10 directly to listen to only your songs on Spotify, but they're going to be pretty pissed off that they can't listen to fucking like Dre Day or fucking, I can't think of a fucking random ass song, but any song you could think about, they'll be mad as hell like, oh, that's blocked. You got to pay $10 to listen to this person. I'm like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to just pay $15 and get everything for everybody. If the artist only gets 0.00 whatever cents for the stream, that's not my fault. I paid my $12, $15.
You also have to have such a core audience and such a cult following to sell your CDs solely, mm-hmm. right? say you're not on streaming platforms and you take the artist first approach and you go, I'm not going to put my music out there. If you want to hear my music, you have to buy it physically.
Mm-hmm.
You can only listen in CD format. That's a novelty thing. It's a cult fan base thing because majority of people are going to go, fuck that. It's hard enough to get people to listen to a song that's made super simple for them. You might drop a YouTube video that is free for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get people to click on that.
And shit, to keep it even like, to even go even deeper than that. Like when I fucking tried to, you know, release PDF 3 as like a digital download on my website, I didn't get any technically real purchase on that. People still went to the streaming because even then, like going to somewhere to physically download something like an MP3, it's not like when you used to drag the shit over into your iPod. It's like, how the fuck are they going to even, I'm still trying to figure shit out. Like, how are you going to listen to that once you download if you don't have like an iTunes library? You're going to pay for said music, but now it's not going to be on your streaming platform, which is what you're using on a daily basis. So
you could download it to your phone. I don't know about iPhones. I have a Galaxy. I could download it right to Samsung Music and have that album pop up. And I do that.
But that's what I'm saying. I just feel like that goes against essentially like the user experience. Because like if I'm on Spotify right now, I got to get out of Spotify and go into my files to go look for your
100%.
Album. 100%. That's too much fucking work for the
100%,
consumer.
100%, bro. Yeah. And that's why that format doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have that cult following.
And that's why like we could look at things, but like, yo, what you said before, like the consumer versus artist approach, like that is beautiful because you have to, in order to attack the industry, you really have to look at it from the consumer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing everything as an artist, you're not going to have a clear mindset. You understand? Like you're going to be looking at things in a very like nuanced and weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're thinking as an artist. A lot of the times we're thinking as artists. We're listening to music thinking as artists. I don't like the way he just switched that flow. I don't like the way the mix sounds. I don't like the beat. I don't like this. I don't like that. But that's only as an artist. Like half the time the consumer doesn't even understand what the fuck we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, the shit that we even overthink when we're about to put out our own record, most people can't hear.
And then you'll pinpoint it to them this. They won't hear it. And like, I do this shit to my girl all the time. I play a fucking song over and over. Like, yo, do you hear that? Do you hear that? No, I don't know. It sounds perfectly fine. Then I'll show her a different version. Sounds the same to me.
Right.
Sonically, it sounds different to me. But to her, it's the same fucking thing. And like, once again, a lot of times we have to make sure that we're not confusing ourselves or like losing ourselves in the source of this whole grandiose thing that's inside of our brains. Because a lot of times it's more simple than it really seems.
Well, I also think that when you attack things like consumer, just like if you aim for a record deal, I think you have to think like a label.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I was the label, why the fuck would I sign me? What reasoning would there be for me to sign me? And if you think like that and you're looking at it, and a lot of us, you know, we think with this like artist brain where we're like, well, because I'm great.
I'm shit.
What makes you great?
Mm-hmm.
If I had to give money to you, what makes you deserve that money? What is it about you that's different from all the other artists? I was talking to a producer the other day, and he said that he's doing some deal with like a big TikTok star or whatever. And he was like, I'm going to go to his management and I'm going to ask for, because the dude gets like 5 million plays every video.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm going to ask for 1 cent per interaction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or like per view or whatever. I'm gonna ask for 1 cent. And I said, what makes that agency not turn around and say, fuck that, I'm just gonna get a beat from someone else.
Mm-hmm. And just give them a flat rate when they're not asking for this, probably.
You feel what I'm saying? So like, you have to think like the label.
Mm-hmm.
You can't think like the artist, because the artist, yeah, we deserve pay for what we're doing, right? But okay, check it out. Yesterday I'm on Uber Eats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get lomo saltado, right?
Lost me, but okay.
Okay. Delicious Peruvian fucking dinner, right? There's 4 different restaurants on Uber Eats that all have lomo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at all 4. They all have good reviews. I'm looking at all 4 for which one is the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made my decision based on, okay, this store wants $20 for their lomo. This one wants 15. Me and my homie went with the 15.
Of course. Why not? Especially if I've never had the food before.
Okay, so the same shit applies to the music industry, right? If I have X artist that wants fucking $1 million deal and makes this type of music, and I find another artist that makes very similar music but wants half that, as a label, if I think that they could both get the same engagement, why would I not go with the cheaper artist? And that's the problem. And that's why people be thinking that we're like pro-industry or like pro-label. I'm just telling you to think like a label.
Because shit, even look, even something like closer to that is like, take for example, Lamar Jackson. They didn't sign him. I don't know if you guys follow football, but they didn't sign him to a contract. So he's basically fighting to get his contract or get signed by another team. They literally got a, like an exact replica of Lamar Jackson as the backup quarterback within saying, okay, well, guess what? If we don't want to pay you, we'll just try to use this guy. We put him in a system that we built around for you. But this guy can basically kind of do the same thing that you can do. Exactly. It's the system. It's okay. The system.
If I have a very solid system, if I am a label and I have a solid system, for instance, Mike Caron at Atlantic, he's known to have this book that he just goes to and people select an old song, a nostalgic song, and then they get someone to produce it and they put out a record.
Mm-hmm.
He has a book of hits that you get to pick from. Okay. He's a coach.
Mm-hmm.
He has a solid system that works. And you know it works because it's been proven.
I haven't, yep.
He makes hit after hit after hit. Atlantic was on fire, right? So how much credit do you give to the artist and how much credit do you give to the label? And before you guys make a judgment, understand that I'm just trying to prove a point on why you should think like the label, right? Rather than being like, yo, this dude sides with the label every fucking time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm always pro-artist. I want every artist to get rich.
Facts.
But if you're going to get rich, you have to think like the label.
A certain way.
Just like if you were going to war, you got to understand what they're thinking in order to attack.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just fucking go in there blindly. You have to understand what they're thinking to attack. What benefits do they have over us? Why are they going to, how are they going to attack us?
And most artists who talk about it, they'll literally say, yeah, I know what the fuck I was doing. Like, I knew it was like, they was talking about Nori before off camera. Like, yeah, he says himself, like, yeah, I signed these big ass deals. I want to spend their money. He knows that. He understands what the rules and regulations comes on behind it, but he's still going to take that on because he knows how to move in said place.
And if you know what the money is, if you know that this was a loan and I owe this shit back, it's different the second time around. A lot of these artists get fucked the first time around because they have no idea what that money is. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that they owe the shit back. Which they don't understand recoupment. Like, but if you've done your first deal and you've made the money back and you paid it back and you made X amount off it, now your second time around, you're kind of like, okay, I see what it is. So now I have a choice. I could either be independent and spend my own bread that I made off the first deal, or I could renegotiate terms, maybe get a higher percentage, and I know what that money is. So the next time around, I'm not buying a chain. I'm not buying a car. I'm not doing any of the shit that I did the first time because I get it now.
Because
you're thinking like the label.
Yep.
Right? Like you're understanding where the label is going to attack. You're understanding what the label offers and what they're going to take for it.
And like, I know if it may feel like, I know the viewers probably like, it feel like they're going on a tangent, but this is like directly linked to what we talked about in the beginning of the episode. Even if there's, with those 100,000 songs coming out, once again, we're saying that the competition now is fierce. And within that competition being fierce, the competition may not be on your level and they not be able to produce the way you produce or like get out songs on your level. But there's still a sea of things that you have to swim through and kind of stand out. Like in that crowd of like a crowd of people, everybody can be sitting there fucking waving their hand. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be picked because everybody's in that crowd waving their hand. Even no matter how long you think your arm is, there's a bunch of other people with their arms out as well. So you got to remember to make sure that you are doing things that are aligned with what's going to put you on a trajectory to success and not just get lost in that crowd.
And also I feel like when you know, bro, we talked about it on the one episode where we were saying like people don't have over 10 songs, they don't have over 50 monthly listeners. Like those are such attainable milestones and those such reachable moments that it's like, you know what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard. It is hard.
It's hard, yes.
But it's not that hard. Like if you really out. Fucking care. Like, yo, my thing is, bro, if you really care, you're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't care, and that's perfectly fine. Like, for instance, bro, I played basketball my whole fucking childhood. I got to college, and I said, I don't love basketball that much. I still like playing basketball. But it doesn't mean I wanted a career in the shit.
Because
once those 2-a-days and 3-a-days started coming, I was like, you know what? I don't like this as much as I used to.
I handed in my helmet for that football team. I was like, I'm not coming back. Sorry, okay. Coach.
You made a distinction. Yo, I like music more than I like this. So I dedicated my life to music, right? But like, I could have easily been like, yeah, I want to play overseas. And I could have gone overseas and played, and I could have lived this life of playing basketball. I could have been in fucking Eastern Europe right now playing basketball. I could have been in South America playing basketball if I loved the shit.
And shit, I know people who've done it, and they come back and they say, yeah, I hate basketball even more now. Like, okay. When it goes, right. I hate basketball even more. Like, I didn't want to do this shit.
Right, but like, if we're looking at it from that standpoint, now you got to look at it like, how much do I really love the shit? And we've talked about this a million times, but you have to look at it like, how much do I really love the shit? There isn't competition in the form of like, you're not competing with the 100,000 tracks. You're only competing with them for real estate. You're only competing with them for market share, which that's fine. Because if you know that out of those 100,000, only like fucking 10,000 are going anywhere, that's fine.
That's perfectly fine.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it. Just because there's 100,000 songs dropping doesn't mean that those 100,000 are all blowing up and they're
all to get pushed.
Those are just songs that are dropping, right? But if you actually care enough to become a successful artist and you care to make this your living, then you're gonna do a lot of things that the next person's not gonna do. For instance, putting money into it. If we know that money is the culprit of the shit, right? If you put money in it, it's extending that belief. It's like, yo, I believe in myself so much that I'm going to invest. Just the same way that like a person comes to this country, their dream is to have a restaurant. They put all their money into the restaurant.
They're from the ground up.
And they reap the rewards. Sometimes those people put all their money into the restaurant and it fails.
Shit don't work out, which happens a lot of times
maybe,
in music.
And maybe they go back to their country. Like there's so many different situations that happen, but like we only look at success stories. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people that tried their business and it didn't work. Shit, the studio, bro.
It's a fact.
I started a studio during a fucking pandemic. Shit did not work. The next time I start a studio or whatever I decide to start is going to be with capital behind it. I'm going to make a lot of
moves differently.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe the first time you started making music, you did it a certain way and it didn't work. So how do you regroup? What's the next plan of attack? Like, how do you get there? And those are the thoughts that you have to come with. And I feel like once you're coming with those type of thoughts, you're going to have a better approach the second time around. And the 100,000 songs that drop a day, that's only going to get bigger. We had an episode, last year? That was 60,000. That was last year.
Yep.
60,000 songs. That's 40,000 more in a year. 40,000
more in 1 year.
So what do you think next year is going to be? And crazy. The next year after that.
Shit. Who knows even streaming going to be around. But at the end of the day, once again, I know sometimes it's hard because we're all artists. You got to get up out of that artist mind and sometimes just look at the business side of it. And once again, I know you guys hear this all the time and you want to possibly ignore it or you're listening to it and don't want to fully, you know, take it for what it is. Because sometimes even for me, I look at myself as like, I'm not taking this shit as serious as I could take it. And sometimes I say to myself as well, like you just mentioned, like, why would a label put money behind me besides me just being me and wanting to be me? Yeah, I can have these ideas and I can have these things that I want to see grow into existence, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be given to me just because I feel that way. Does the work ethic always fully back behind the backing? As crazy as that sounds, like, why would somebody back me if my work ethic isn't backing myself?
Right.
Sounds crazy.
That's the reason why you put money behind your music. You're just proving a point. Like if you'll put money into yourself, like a label will put money into you. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're willing to go out on a limb and like risk it all on yourself, and I'm not telling you to do that.
Don't do it.
But
figure out a way to do it sustainably.
That form of belief in yourself does go a long way.
That's what it does.
People see you spending money on yourself, they might spend money on you.
That's the same thing Eric was saying last time we had him on an episode. He's like, yo, if you're going to really do it, then you're going to eventually do it. I said that shit to my girl when she was going to nursing school. She was a little nervous. I'm like, yeah, do you want to be a nurse? Like, do you want to be an RN? Yeah.
This is what you have to do.
Yeah, you know, this is what you have to do. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah, just like, go do it. You know?
Whether it's 3 years from now or 10 years from now or tomorrow, you have to do
it. And
this
even
no
if you
what.
Feel like you're going to fail it, you can just go back and try again.
I think the biggest problem with artists coming up is that we think that we're going to be the only person that didn't have to put money behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you see all these people putting money and you're like, fucking stupid. I'm doing this shit for free. And you might even brag about the shit. Meanwhile, your music's not moving. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, the people who actually invested in, because me and you have been around long enough where we've seen every type of artist.
Yes, indeed.
We've seen people who, they were great.
Fucking fire.
Didn't put any money behind their music.
Zilch.
And now they're not making music anymore.
Gone.
And it's like, that happened. That happens because people, once they get that taste of like, this shit isn't just going to organically grow by itself. That's where that like steep hill comes, where it's like, am I willing to actually go all out? Am I willing to put all the money behind this shit? Am I willing to actually invest in myself? Or do I just cut my losses? Because I haven't wasted any money. I haven't lost anything.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's better for me to just cut my losses.
And those stories happen more often than the success stories. Because I tell you right now, my fucking company is in the red again this year, which I expected it to be. And I probably expected it to be in the red next year. But after that, hopefully I'm putting certain things in place where the company is in the green. But if it's not, fuck it. Close the LLC, start a new one. We talked about it before. Yo, that's just what it is, yo. So, you know, just be realistic out there, guys, and just understand the shit is complicated, but at the same time, there are steps out there that can help you along the way, and just pay attention to what's happening around you. If 100,000 tracks are dropping, yes, it may seem like there's more competition, but at the end of the day, you still need to compete with yourself, but more so you need to be able to fight for that attention.
And I love you guys, and I hope you don't think I'm an industry shill. We're just trying to open your mind and kind of stimulate, all right? I'm not an industry shill.
I had to look that up because I was telling you what the fuck that was. I thought you called you a snail or some shit. It was funny.
All right, guys. Rapper's Guide Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Match.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.